Really nice to see you all this morning. Just a quick announcement. We have a retreat coming up in November 18th. It's going to be a one-day retreat, silent, like we've done before. Interestingly, I've had several people sign up for it already. Several people have signed up for the precept ceremony also. So for the precept ceremony, I need a little advanced warning because there's things I have to do to prepare for the people who are taking the precepts. So I don't want anyone to just show up there last minute and say, I want to take the precepts. They really need to let me know in advance, and I will put that out there before it happens, probably about a week before. So there is a form online in one of the posts I put out there that you can click on. You can also go to the calendar and get there and just fill out that form and say, yes, I'm taking the precepts. Then I have your name and your phone number and your enough information to put something together. It's a very simple ceremony. It's not going to be great shakes, but it'll be beautiful. And I'm really excited that people are interested in doing it and, supporting their practice that way. So that's in November. Looking forward to that. I took what appeared to be a sabbatical or a personal retreat for the month of August. And the thing about it is outwardly, we can change the scenery in our lives. But inwardly, we never really go anywhere. We always are practicing. We're always getting to know ourselves because no matter what changes on the outside, practice is always continuing. So it's not like I left and went somewhere. None of us have left and gone anywhere, actually. But that's how it appears. And that's all good, right? So if we're really paying attention, every experience that we have contributes something to our understanding. We also did this for those of you that joined me in our, I guess you could call it a Dharma, a sutra study. Although, again, just like taking a sabbatical, it's not really a sutra study. What is it? It's a study of your own mind. So even though it appears as though you're going somewhere to study Buddha's teachings, or in this case, Yuning's teachings, the Platform Sutra, all he's doing is pointing you back to yourself, to your own mind. So we have this seeking mind. We go and we, try all these things out. But this is life. It's an adventure. Of course, we should be doing all these things and enjoying life. But inwardly, we have to understand who we are, what we're doing here. So as not to get caught up in all that. When we're sitting, I used to refer to my, when the thoughts would come up, I would refer to it as getting on the train of thoughts. I would get on this train and I'd be traveling with this train. Next thing I'd know, I'd have to get off the train because I recognized that's not the direction I want to be going. See? So I get off the train. In another moment, I'm on the train again, going off somewhere. That's the wonderful thing about sitting. So I missed you guys, missed coming here. Really happy to get things going again on a regular basis. Every Sunday and Wednesday. I did a Dharma talk right before this vacation of August, about our ancestors. I listened to it this morning just to kind of refresh my memory of what it was I said. It's very interesting. I said everything I need to say in that. I don't need to say it again. So if you want to hear what I had to say, listen to that again, because I'm not going to repeat it today. But I'm happy to answer questions or talk about anything you'd like to talk about. I do have one thing that I may add. I was going to add it at the end of our talk today, but I'm kind of at a loss for words right now, so I'm going to bring it up now. I have these audiobooks, and I like to listen to audio when I'm exercising or just generally doing things. One of them is called 101 Zen Stories, and this is by this was compiled by a man named John Beck. And there's one particular story that really grabbed me this morning. And I was on the treadmill, you know, I was going away and listening to this, and all of a sudden this popped up and it just grabbed me. So I don't know if it means anything to you, but for me, it really focuses in on just exactly what Zen is. So I'm going to play it for you, okay? Yeah, here we go.
The Last Will and Testament. Ikkyu, a famous Zen teacher of the Ashikaga era, was the son of the emperor. When he was very young, his mother left the palace and went to study Zen in a temple. In this way, Prince Ikkyu also became a student. When his mother passed on, she left him a letter. It read, "To Ikkyu, I have finished my work in this life and am now returning into eternity. I wish you to become a good student and to realize your Buddha nature. You will know if I am in hell and whether I am always with you or not. If you are a man who realizes that the Buddha and his follower Bodhidharma are your own servants, you may leave off studying and work for humanity. The Buddha preached for 49 years, and in all that time found it not necessary to speak one word. You ought to know why. But if you don't, and yet wish to, avoid thinking fruitlessly. Your mother, not born, not dead. September 1st. P.S. The teaching of Buddha was mainly for the purpose of enlightening others. If you are dependent on any of its methods, you are naught but an ignorant insect. There are 80,000 books on Buddhism, and if you should read all of them and still not see your own nature, you will not understand even this letter. This is my will and testament."
So here we are, beginning of September. I'm sure we have plenty to talk about.
We actually, this morning, had a lateral conversation about something related to this.
Mm-hmm.
About, say the discipline of sitting meditation, like a daily, how it in its, nothing is wrong with it in itself. It can be good and all of that, but I suppose the approach, if it could easily become unconscious.
Like, yes.
If the intent isn't correct, I would say, and I think, in a personal sense, like I sit every day, two times a day, whether short or long, And I think the nature of our conversation this morning, which was kind of half a conversation, not a whole conversation, but, you know, it's on mindfulness and like what that means. Does that mean when you are sitting, or does it mean, you know, in life, and, you know, in general, right now, like I'm talking to you, I'm mindful.
Yes.
So, and I know that also in a personal sense that there's a good degree of attachment I have to the practice of meditation.
Yes.
And the regime of sitting and studying, reading when I can, and all of those things. And at the same time, an incredible absent-mindedness in other areas of life. So I think what you played there is interesting and reassuring in the same sense that you know, as much as we feel we're doing something, or as much as we're learning, accruing knowledge and all of that, there's still the hinge that you know, this is about awakening, and isn't necessarily about the long road there.
Yeah, well, it's like I really love the saying, wherever you go, there you are. You know, most people don't really interpret that in the way that I do, which is being present, which is Zen, which is just this. You know, it's right here, right now, nowhere else. Next moment is the next moment. This is now. And when I took my vacation, I picked up my cushion this morning, which I took with me, took it back to them. I think I used it maybe 3 times out of the whole month. And I picked it up this morning. I went, well, that was useless. Why did you even bother bringing it home? But I never stopped practicing, you see. It's not a have to. It's just right action. It doesn't have a have to attached to it, has nothing attached to it. Because if you do it with any sort of attachment, you're kind of missing the boat. If you just sit to sit, boom, that's it. It's nothing to gain. Don't sit, there's also nothing to gain. Sit, there's nothing to gain. However, karmically, each one of us has the propensity to chase something down and be deluded and grasping. So sitting very clearly helps us to acknowledge and recognize those things about ourselves and make those changes that we need to, or just let them go in the moment so that you are free from that compelling, grasping nature. It's so hard to talk about it in words. You know, we say it's not this, it's not that. Really, just can't say. Yes?
I heard a great quote recently. I actually shared it with Mandy, but it said, in Western cultures, a lot of times we have this need to produce or to be or to do something to make things. But in a lot of indigenous cultures, they believe that it is our nature to be alive the same way that the natural world is alive. And that's just to be here, be beautiful, and be strange. And I love that book. So I was like, wow, that's 100% true. When you're trying to do things, you're not really being in your natural state. You're not just here and beautiful and weird at the same time.
Yeah, although doing things is your natural state.
Right, yeah. Too, right? Doing things is that natural state too. Right? The whole point was that try not to make something of it, just be.
Yeah, so when I'm watching the birds in the lake in the backyard, sometimes, you know, I project on them what they're doing. Oh, he's fishing. He's looking good for his next meal. It's the addition of the thought that creates something, makes something out of it. You know, get back to that for a long time I was using that saying, don't make, don't make something out of it. Just, you know, be. Well, but we do.
I was talking to a friend who just about meditation, and he's like, well, isn't it just sitting and clearing your mind and being blank? And that question, I was so, didn't know where to start with my response. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people meditate without knowing they're meditating. You know, when they're doing dishes or just walking in the morning, whatever they're doing.
Yes.
So many people don't realize that state of mind is meditation. So when he asked that, I didn't know what to say. It's not just sitting. It's how you carry yourself throughout the day.
Yeah.
And then the Red Pine book, I think it was that one. Might have been the Diamond Sutra. I've been reading all the different readings he posts. So okay. But the idea was the Bodhisattva and how they go on this path, different stages and what they do, what happens. And then one of the sections of that, it talked about not being the fool and not telling lies, but then being hypocritical and really resonating.
Good. Yeah, the thing about people's perception that meditation is having a blank mind is a misperception. Heining famously said that the mind is like space. It is vast. It can contain everything. It is great. Maha. You know, he says, he warns you, he says, you know, don't think that it's having a blank mind. It's like space. It contains everything, the whole universe. That's a whole different kind of view than, you know, blank nothingness. So another one of those things like emptiness, people confuse emptiness with, you know, the idea that there's nothing there. It's just empty of any preconceived idea. So you actually are seeing reality. Difference between knowledge and wisdom. Anybody else? Okay. Happy to see all your faces today. Be in your presence. Thank you.